Unitary Council. Today is February the 5th of 2024, and it is 2 o'clock. Let's begin our meeting. We will call roll to confirm that we have a full quorum of the tax member. I'm sorry, council member.
This conference will now be recorded.
And since the recording just came on, we will repeat that this is a meeting of the Accessibility Advisory Council. Today is February the 5th of 2024, and it is 2:01 p.m. Let's begin by calling roll of council members. Please answer by saying here. Joe DelVecchio. Joe DelVecchio. Myla Miller. Beth Meyer.
Here.
Thank you. Paul Bixney.
Here.
Allison Klein.
Here.
Stan DiAranzetta.
Here.
Lois Darlene Crow.
Here.
And Paula Miller. Or Joe DelVecchio.
You're muted, Jet.
We do have a quorum with 5 of our 7 members. We'll move ahead. Council members will need to approve the agenda posted if there are no recommended changes, with a motion and a second.
This is Darlene. I motion to approve the agenda.
This is Beth Meyer. I motion to second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the agenda as posted. All in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. We would like to introduce staff. I'm Marlita Peters. I will help facilitate your meeting today. It appears we have Mr. Jim Hammers, Jim Schock, Sabrina Evans, Mo Madani, Justin Vogel, our legal staff, on the line. Do we have any other staff on the line that need to be recognized? Chip Sellers also is on the line.
And his line is muted. He needs to unmute himself.
Okay, thank you. Please be mindful of any background noise. If you are not part of the current conversation, we ask that you mute your phone using the mic button on the system. We have had some issues with the new update of GoToMeeting, so if we experience difficulties, please be patient as we work through whatever issues it has today. We hope that there are not any. Next, we'd like to approve the previous minutes of November 30th of 2023. We need a motion and a second, please.
Paul, would you be able to approve the minutes of the press meeting?
Thank you. Second.
This is Darlene. I second it.
All those in favor of the previous minutes unchanged, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? It stands. The Commission's actions of October 5th of 2023 waiver applications. Mr. Madani?
Yes. I'll take this up. At the end, if possible. Thank you.
Okay. Council members, you agree with a slight change in the agenda order?
Fine.
This is yes. Fine. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Our first item to review is Shalimar Beach Resort Waiver Number 656. Mr. Sellers? Mr. Sellers, we're not hearing you. You need to unmute your line.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would give us just a moment, he may be having difficulties with that. We'll move him to a new computer. Give us just one moment.
So no luck?
Yeah, it's not letting me unmute you. For some reason.
This is Justin Vogel. We're going to have Mr. Sellers come and sit in my office since we're having some issues with his line go-to meeting software.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Great. The issue is vertical accessibility. The second floor project type is new construction. Project progress and plan review, project description. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a new two-story hotel with floor area of 32,819 square feet. The proposed project is redeveloped new hotel with 33 guest rooms being split into one two-story motel building, four duplex buildings, one fourplex building, and one office suite. The engineer for the project stated that the proposed project was designed to fulfill current building code regulations, including meeting all applicable accessible requirements. The required accessible rooms are located on the first floor of the motel building and the fourplex building, and all common use facilities are located on the first floor and are accessible. The project estimated cost is $15.5 million for the construction. According to the applicant, a total of four elevators will be needed to provide for vertical accessibility throughout the proposed buildings. The estimated cost for the four elevators is $662,500. Further, the applicant stated that the addition of the required vertical accessibility would create undue financial hardship for the owner, both in the significant upfront cost and the lifetime maintenance cost. Applicant alleges substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends denying the request for waiver for vertical accessibility since the project in question is new construction.
Thank you, Mr. Sellers. Do we have anyone on the line that's representing Shalimar Beach Resort?
Yes, this is Larry Snyder. I've currently been brought on board by the architectural team and the owner to assist in discussing this waiver. I do have a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation, that Mr. Hammers will be available, able to allow me to use my computer so I can show this to the council.
We will attempt to give you the authority to do so. Also, it's very difficult to hear you, Larry. Your call is muted. Not muted, but muffled.
All right. Is this a little bit better now?
Let's see how it goes for the others. If anyone has difficulty hearing you, then we may have to stop you for a quick moment.
All right.
He needs to share his screen as well.
Okay.
We can see your report now.
All right. Thank you all very much. This is a waiver request from the requirements of the Florida Accessibility Code in regard to this project. Under the Florida Statute 553.512, a waiver can be granted upon a determination of unnecessary, unreasonable, or extreme hardship, provided such waiver shall not violate federal accessibility laws. The Florida Statute 553 mandates vertical accessibility to all levels, and we fully understand the staff's position because this is new construction, and then normally you would not look at this as allowing for a waiver. What we'd like to present to you is the following. The buildings in question is the construction of a new hotel motel due to the previous facility was destroyed by a hurricane. The project consists of the following buildings or areas. A total of 21 guest rooms located in a three-story motel building that has elevator access to the guest rooms and vertical access to the rooftop terrace. A three-story, four-room guest building that has an elevator access to the guest room. Four two-story guest room buildings with two rooms on the second floor, no vertical access, and a two-story office and manager suite that has elevator access to the second floor area. As originally submitted, the response to the concern of economic hardship due to the options provided within the application, but as new construction, there is no option related to economic hardship. The applicant, when they submitted this, as you go through the application process on the form, there doesn't have an option for new construction and a waiver for that. It only talks about that, and that's why they selected the issue of economic hardship, which we know that is not a valid issue for this project. Under the Florida Accessibility Code, vertical access is required to all levels of the project. Under the ADA standards for section 206.2.3 states that exceptions that in private buildings or facilities that are less than three stories or have less than 3,000 square feet per story, an accessible route shall not be required. Under that provision of the ADA standards, there will be no requirement for vertical access for this project. So the option of granting a waiver for the four specific buildings that the client is looking for would not be a violation of the ADA requirement. When is vertical access actually required? Under Florida State Statute 553509, which is the accessibility code, and the other option is under the State Elevator Code, section 399.035, which states any building that is more than three stories high or in which the vertical distance between the bottom terminal landing and the top terminal landing is 25 feet must be constructed to contain at least one passenger elevator. These buildings do not meet that state elevator code requirement mandating an elevator. So again, the vertical access is strictly a broad accessibility code. This is a picture of the property in the center of the slide where you see the pool, the cottages around the perimeter. This is the property, Shalimar Beach Resort, prior to the hurricane. This is all gone now. This has been eliminated, unfortunately, due to the hurricane, and this is one of the first projects being coming back to Sanibel Island after the hurricane. Under the City of Sanibel Planning Commission, the Planning Department made the following staff recommendation. I'll give you some background. The Shalimar cottages and motel buildings located were destroyed by Hurricane Idea. This property is within the resort housing district. The application has submitted a project overview discussion of how the proposed redevelopment is consistent with the Sanibel Code. One of the issues with Sanibel, if you have the opportunity to be there, is to see a low-profile residential environment without high-rise buildings. Sanibel has in their zoning ordinances the intent to maintain low-profile buildings on its property to keep the ambiance and the look of Sanibel. And that is one of the goals of this project and Sanibel itself. The subject property is located within the resort housing district. The Sanibel Code has established redevelopment standards, architectural standards, and building height limitations to ensure the retention of short-term rental units while also protecting and enhancing the environment, visual, and physical character of Sanibel, consistent with the Sanibel plan. Prior to the hurricane, Shalimar Cottages and Motel consisted of 14 cottages and one motel building. As you saw in the photos that we had, which we got from Google Earth. The redevelopment changes the layout of the resort in order to bring the property into compliance with current flood and development standards. Additionally, the proposed development area is below the maximum allowed and reduces the development area by 11,700 square feet compared to pre-hurricane conditions. The tallest building proposed is a motel with two stories over parking. The required design flood elevation is 17.5 feet, which results in an overall building height of 48.5 feet. The maximum allowed height within the resort housing district is 49.8 feet. So part of the project and the intent is to keep a low profile to keep in with the Sanibel goal of keeping in a nice neighborhood environment for the residences and for the guests at Sanibel. The proposed hotel is consistent with the size and mass of existing resort users in the area. The proposed redevelopment is consistent with the redevelopment standards and building standard heights. The proposed office, manager suite, and two and four unit buildings meet the architectural standards. The architectural design standards in question pertain to the proposed roof of the motel building. The motel building meets all other architectural design standards. Planning Department concludes that the proposed resort development is consistent with the resort housing district redevelopment standards and compatible with the surrounding area. The Planning Commission should approve the redevelopment of the Shalimar Cottages and Motel. And the Planning Commission did approve this development. Now, here's your question. Has the waiver ever been granted to new construction? The answer is yes. So this is not the first time that an applicant has been asking for a waiver from vertical accessibility in new construction. The project that was done before was the Atlantic Homestead Village Motel, and this was a hotel-motel project that had three and or four two-story buildings, and the Florida Building Commission granted the waiver to require an elevator in every building. An elevator was only required in one building. There were a number of these hotel-motel projects that received this waiver. Again, new construction, so it has been done by and recommended by the council and approved by the Florida Building Commission. These projects were done in the late 1990s. I am aware of this, fully aware of these projects, because I was the accessibility consultant on them in working on proceeding with the waiver. Let us specifically take a look at this project. Here is the site plan. To your left is the Gulf of Mexico. To the right is the street that fronts the facility. You notice there's a number of buildings here, and there are four buildings known as duplex 1, 2, 3, and 4, which are these sites 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is what the waiver is being requested for these specific four buildings. There's an elevator in the main building, there's an elevator in the fourplex, and there's also an elevator in the officers and managers suite. So the majority of the project is all have elevators exist. These four buildings with two units in them each. This is a blow-up of that. Fully accessibility, accessible parking is provided here. Access to the pool area and everything and throughout the site is fully provided. Access from the street is provided to the development. This is the larger building. There is an elevator in it. As we noted that the floodplain criteria was raised after the hurricane, all of these buildings, there is no habitable space at grade. What there is there is parking, and the buildings are raised up. So on the main, that main building that's got a few, number of units in it, which is 21, elevator is provided. This is the first floor of the guest room. An accessible room is provided in this building. This is the second floor guest room. elevator provided to here, and then there's access being provided to the rooftop observation area. So this building is fully accessible. This is a building section showing us that ways it's all open as required, and the living units and the hotel room are on the second and third floor and the observation area up on top on the roof. The two-story duplex, which is the one that's being requested, do not provide an elevator tubing, parking below the unit, and basically a hotel room located above it. So there are four of these buildings that have two units in them each building. Then the two-story manager office building has an elevator. As you can see, this is where the elevator is located. This is the first floor. Access is provided to the manager's suite and the office. So full access is provided. And the two-story manager's office is a section cut showing through that with the elevator going up to the second floor area. Now there is a three-story fourplex building with an elevator, which has parking on the first floor. On the first level floor, it's going to have two units. And on the second floor, which would be the third floor actually, is another two units. An elevator is provided in this building. So that's what this is looking at. So we've got the vast majority, over 75% of the units are fully accessible. Again, it's just those two specific units. A number of people, this is from the Sanibel Captive Island Chamber of Commerce, and they're writing in support of the rebuilding of the Shalimar Resort, and they are supporting, hopefully, the request and the consideration of the Accessibility Advisory Council to allow these four two-story duplex buildings to not provide a vertical access into those units. And as noted here, while the new plan will look different for Shalimar, it seeks the best of the past and implements the important necessary changes needed to ensure a resilient future, which will require multiple elevator structures. We are requesting that due to current increased costs and desire to protect our island and the desire need to restore property back online as quickly as possible and support tourism. They are supporting the granting of the waiver from the South Cascada Island Chamber of Commerce. Here is a couple, Mac and Pat Van Allen, who have stayed at this facility, and they are just basically saying, listen, this is a great place to stay. Our preference would be for Shalimar to be reconstructed exactly as it was. We understand, however, this would be neither possible nor wise. The current plan mimics the small college community-based atmosphere as best as possible. When completed, we'd be one of the first ones to come back again. And they've been visiting that place since 2007. Here's one from Pat and Sally Bryant. Again, they've been staying there for over 20 years at the resort, and they are in support of the recommendation for the waiver to these four buildings that have the two units each in them. Another one comes from John and Philomena Poole. Again, supporting the look. The Shalimar provides a bit of the old world Florida and islandy feel that is so important on a refuge island like Sanibel.
Excuse me, Mr. Schneider, this is Justin Vogel, the commission's attorney. This is just public comment. There will be an opportunity for public comment to be presented. If you could just keep your presentation limited to, you know, your own opinions and the technical aspects of these questions.
Well, I appreciate that, but we wanted to show you a copy of the correspondence and letters that have been received by people requesting the same issue. So, based upon this and the fact that this is not the first time that this has been requested, based upon Sanibel's goal of maintaining a lower profile, based upon the fact that we have the 21-unit building fully accessible, the fourplex accessible, the manager's office and office and living quarters accessible. We believe, based upon this unique project, that a waiver should be granted for the four specific buildings in question, readily accessible, and that vertical access is provided within the other buildings, and access is provided on the site for the associated parking and all site amenities. We thank you for this time, and do you have any questions?
Council members, do you have any clarifying questions for Mr. Snyder or for staff?
This is Beth Meyer. I do. There's a lot of great information that Mr. Snyder provided. However, my question really is possibly to Justin. I mean, this could very well. I mean, we're talking about the entire island is being rebuilt. Everything in Gulf Coast, different areas are being rebuilt, and this could really set a precedence, and what we know is when the buildings come back, it's an opportunity for accessibility for all of Floridians and all of the visitors. I fear that this, great information, very thorough, but if we look at why we're here right now, has it been done? Yes, it appears, and Larry did a great job, laying that out. But we're talking about a community that was decimated. And would this set a precedent if this was approved for every single new hotel that was being built? Would this legally open up Pandora's box and let everybody else who's coming in get around the ADA?
Well, this is Justin Vogel. I mean, I think as Mr. Snyder pointed out, this doesn't involve the ADA. This involves the Florida-specific requirement. But to your point, every case should be evaluated on its own merits. However, there is a general principle of consistency of agency action. And so, as Mr. Schneider noted, perhaps in the late 90s, there were some projects were approved. I think, as he noted, typically uncommon for the commission to grant vertical accessibility waivers for new construction for the purposes that you just laid out, the fact that this isn't an alteration. It is easier to build them now. It's also not required under Florida statute, unlike with some of the economic impact analyses that we see with many of our other waiver applications. So there may not be a strict precedent, but there is absolutely the possibility that if similarly situated applicants were turned down, that they could potentially challenge it due to there being an inconsistent application of authority of the commission.
All right, thank you. That helps me understand the way that I feel like you have to support the staff. Thank you.
Any other council members with questions or comments?
Do I respond to that?
No, sir. Not at the moment. We're at the council to ask questions. Darlene, are you trying to ask a question? If there are no council members with questions or comments, do we have anyone from the public with questions or comments?
Yeah, this is Larry Snyder again. I understand Beth's concern. However, if you notice this, the 25 of the units are fully accessible. It's just duplex units, which are very unique in their own feature, and it is an element. As you heard from legal, every waiver is taken on a case-by-case basis. And the issue that I want to show you again to get you back to this unit, what it looks like, this is it right here. You have two parking spaces, and you have a rental unit above, one on either side. So it's literally just a duplex. And accessibility is provided to this facility. Access is available. The accessible guest room to let you know there is the option for the person taking it. There is going to be one accessible one at the 33 units. There's only two required. One of them is going to be in the main building, and one of them is going to be in the fourplex. So if you have the one that's going to be right there on the ocean, you'll be seeing the beach in the ocean, Gulf of Mexico. So you have the dispersion that you're looking at. The units are not all put into the main building. They are dispersed among the unit types. So from my perspective, and I understand your concern about having access to everything, but again, you're allowed for a uniqueness of a project, and this is a unique project. They're trying to do their best to meet the requirements of Sanibel and their issues. They have to get the issue of raising the building up immediately because of floodplain criteria and what the hurricane showed and what happened. And as we go back to the main site and take a look at it,
Mr. Snyder, you've given your request. We need to get back to the council to make a decision.
Well, I'll respond to her question. Thank you.
Thank you. Council members, any further questions or comments, or any other person from the public?
Hi, my name is Joyce Doman, and we're the architect of record. May I speak?
Yes, ma'am.
First, I'd just like to comment on the staff recommendation to denying the waiver. In our defense, I would like to say that the application didn't, the way it was presented to us and the way we executed it, didn't actually give us the variables that were required to explain this project well. And so I feel that staff has denied it on the merits of the application, which were hardship. And I feel that there was more to talk about that Larry has presented that needs to be considered. When Beth, you said, I think staff has recommended this to be denied, I think that's the reason it was denied, without knowing all of the backstory. And if I could just take a minute to say, Sanibel, if any of you have been there, it's a very special place. In 1976, they created the Sanibel Plan, which made two-thirds of the island a conservation land, and it's defined as a barrier island sanctuary. It's a very nature-driven island. It suffered immensely in the storm, but it didn't suffer as badly as some of our neighbor islands because it is a sanctuary island where, you know, storms are supposed to hit these islands and become the barrier protection that they are. And so Shalimar is the first project that's coming out of the gate as far as redevelopment goes. And the city has really been working with Shalimar, as in the owner and us as the designers, to make this a good example of what the projects going forward should be on our island. How do we rebuild our island and still comply with the original Sanibel Plan from 1976. So the owners and us and have been in open discussions with the city planners since October of 22, right after the storm. And post-storm, it was made very clear to us that the city officials and the community didn't want the island to lose its charm. And so we worked together in very long meetings together over and over again. And we have full support of the design of this project from the city officials, city planner, staff, and the planning commission, as well as the mayor. We've heard things from them like Shalimar is leading the redevelopment process, and it's leading it in the right direction. And you've exceeded our expectations and set the bar high for other future developments. You know, we've showed them that it's possible to meet all of the flood regulations, to meet all of the coverage issues, height restrictions, density issues, et cetera. They're very strict on Sanibel. And so they've been really good to us, okay, to do this. So I ask you to please consider this sort of unique situation in maintaining the sort of decades-long effort that Sanibel has enforced over the years. To keep Sanibel a very that barrier island sanctuary. And I understand that when you say it might set a precedent for all new construction going forward after hurricanes like this, but we think, yes, it does set a precedent, and the precedent will be if we are denied this, then there will be no more small cottages or cute island resorts anymore. Nobody will be able to afford them. It's just not possible to keep to do this, and so they'll just be building very big, high. You know, we could have done a three-story motel instead of the Q cottage look. So we really tried to do what the community was asking for. And so we know it would set a precedent, but we also know that you are here to make those decisions and to stop it from happening, you know, in other situations that are different, where it isn't quite the same situation of being on Sanibel and
so
trying
to... So we need to bring it to a close. We did not invoke our 2 minutes per person, but perhaps we need to do that if there are further comments.
This is Jim Schock. I'd like to make a public comment.
Okay, Mr. Schock, go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Jim Schock, and as a commissioner who represents the disabled, I do agree with staff recommendations. I don't think this is has to be such a big issue. There is an elevator already in one of the small buildings, as I understand, so it's not like it's impossible. There's also possibly a method to do maybe chair lifts or some other type of vertical accessibility equipment that could be used and be a little less expensive possibly. But I do believe that at reconstruction is a time to bring things to code, and I support staff recommendations.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comment at this time? Hearing none, council members, we're back to you for discussion. That means all public comment ends at this time. Council members, for you to discuss and or make a motion.
This is Allison Klein. First and foremost, I believe our role here is about accessibility for all people with disabilities. I move to deny the request for the waiver due to this being new construction.
This is Beth Meyer. I agree and second that.
Thank you. Do we have any further discussion by council members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to deny, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion stands. Our next item is Soka Cafe waiver number 654. Mr. Sellers?
Yes, the issue is vertical accessibility to the mezzanine. Project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. Project progress and plan review. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $45,760.67. Project construction costs, construction over the past 3 years, is $76,536.50, with an economic hardship threshold at 60%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to a mezzanine in a new cafe with 952 square feet. The new cafe is an improvement which will be located within a newly constructed building with hotel and condo occupants. The seating layout for the cafe will be located at the ground level and the mezzanine level. The cafe will serve the hotel patrons, condo residents, and the general public. Proposed alteration will consist of drywall framing, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, fire sprinkler-related work. Project estimated construction cost is $76,536.50 for the alteration. The applicant has submitted two cost estimates of $64,993 and $45,760.67 for a lift. The applicant alleges substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends granting the request for a waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship.
Thank you, Mr. Sellers. Do we have anyone representing Soka Cafe on the line?
Yes, hi, good afternoon. My name is Karen Rodriguez. I'm representing the architect of the but we also have Mr. Santiago Venegas, the applicant, on the line as well.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. And your name again, sir?
Santiago Venegas.
Santiago Rodriguez. Mr. Schneider, your phone was causing a bleed over. Can we keep it on mute, please? Ms. Rodriguez, do you have any further comments you'd like to make or agree with the staff analysis?
To me, I'm sorry? Karen Rodriguez?
Yes. Do you have any further comments that you would like to make in support of your request?
No, not at the moment. Mr. Sellers got it right. Basically, yeah, the two quotes that we received, one is 40% of the proposed remodeling cost, and the other one is 56%. So we would greatly appreciate it if we could count with your approval so that we may proceed with the remodeling permit.
Thank you. Do we have any clarifying questions from council members? Do we have anyone from the public with comments or questions? Hearing none, council, it's back to you to make a recommendation, a motion, and or discussion.
This is Darlene. I move to grant the waiver of vertical accessibility based on economic hardship.
Apologies, me second.
Do we have any further discussion, council members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to grant based on economic hardship, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any opposed? Thank you. The motion is passed. Our next property is... Thank you. Doak's Academy, waiver number 653. Mr. Sellers?
Thank you.
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. Project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. Project progress is under construction. Compliance estimate and amount spent on accessible features is $35,500. Project construction cost of construction over the past 3 years, $600, with an economic threshold of 5,917%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to an existing two-story office building with 5,000 square feet. The proposed alteration will consist of removing a wall and converting two rooms into one big room. The building is a commercial office building being used for adult education purposes. The project construction cost is $600 for the alteration. The applicant has submitted two cost estimates of $35,500 and $38,300 for a lift. The applicant alleges the hardship is caused by substantial financial costs that will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship.
Thank you. Is there anyone representing Doak's Academy on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Scott Herbert.
I'm sorry, your name again, sir?
Scott Herbert.
Can you spell your last name, please?
Sure. H-E-R-B-E-R.
Thank you. Do you have any comments, sir?
No, ma'am. Mr. Sellers has it correct.
Thank you. Do we have any clarifying questions from council members?
This is Allison Klein. When they submit their request for this waiver, they submit to somebody the cost and all of the estimates, because we don't see that stuff.
This is Chip Sellers. It's all submitted on the application. So if you were to click on the application, there in the agenda, you could go through and you would see everything that they've submitted as far as the cost for the lifts and everything else associated.
Okay. Yeah, because I was curious about if that was the correct amount, the $600. I think that's the cheapest I've seen for any construction ever. So just want to make sure the numbers were accurate.
Yeah, and once again, they're only removing a wall. I did confirm that with... Dr. Herbert, about what work was being done, and they're strictly removing a wall. So.
Okay.
And to confirm, it's not a load-bearing wall. I'm sorry to jump. It's not a load-bearing wall. It's just drywall.
Okay. Thank you.
Council members, any further clarifying questions? Is there anyone from the public with comments or questions? Hearing none, back to the council to
discuss and or make a motion.
This is Beth Meyer. I would recommend granting based on the request for a waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship.
This is Allison Klein. I'll second it.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to grant based on economic hardship. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Our final property to discuss is 141 Northeast 24 LLC, waiver number 623. Mr. Sellers?
The issue is vertical accessibility of the mezzanine. Project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. The project progress is in plan review. Client estimate amount spent on accessible features is $42,800 plus $9,800 with a total of $52,600. Project construction cost and construction over the past 3 years is $32,200 and $50,000 with a total of $82,200 with an economic hardship threshold of 64%. The applicant is requesting a waiver for providing vertical accessibility to an existing mezzanine in a warehouse with 4,837 square feet. Proposed alteration will consist of adding a new exterior metal commercial door, upgrading 3 interior doors, providing for accessible bathrooms, adding a new fire and safety equipment. The project estimated construction cost is $32,200 for the alteration and $9,800 is being spent on accessible upgrades. Construction cost of work completed in the past 3 years is $50,000, and the applicant has submitted two cost estimates of $40,956 expense, $37,900 for a lift plus $4,900 for associated costs to install the lift. Applicant has alleged substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship.
Thank you. Do we have anyone representing the property 141 Northeast 24?
Yes, hi. My name is Javier. I am present here today.
Javier, what is your last name, please?
My last name is Fajardo, F as in Frank, A-J-A-R-D-O.
Thank you. Do you have any further comments to represent your application, sir?
No, Mr. Seller got it correct. Everything that you said matches exactly what I submitted to the application.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah. Council members, do we have any questions or comments? Hearing none, is there anyone from the public with questions or comments? And council, back to you for discussion or a motion.
This is Beth Meyer. I recommend granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship and supporting staff recommendation.
This is Darlene. I second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion by council members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to grant based on economic hardship, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? And the motion is granted. We now move back to the Commission's action of October the 5th, 2023. Mr. Madani?
Yes, this is Ron Madani. The actions of the Commission were consistent with your action, with exception to waiver 645. I think you recommended that be granted based on technical infeasibility. However, staff also expressed that to be granted based on the grounds of economic hardship. So the commission mainly took action on it to include also the grounds of economic hardship. Thank you.
Thank you. there any further business to be brought before the council today? Any further comment by the public or the council? Hearing none, it is 2:51. We can consider the meeting adjourned. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time and have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.